And this is where I feel the Lord's leading us this evening as far as the word is concerned, just a word of encouragement concerning our place in the work of God and how he's working through us. There's a very simple but very important principle that I believe he wants us to get a hold of tonight. And much the same as this morning's service was not so much that we learned anything new this morning. I don't think I learned anything new. I've just refreshed and reminded in some things that I should be operating in. And I think perhaps if I were to poll you, you would say the same thing. That's the way I feel about the message this evening, or at least when I say the message, the portion of God's Word that we're going to be sharing and the message that I believe he would have to bring from it. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them. In other words, driving out the enemies and then planting his people. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. The third verse is the key verse. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Now, I'm going to read on, but I want to stop right there just a moment, and I want to just elaborate on that just a bit. In the last, in the last week, this one verse I've not been able to get out of my mind. Psalm 44 and verse 3. And as I was preparing for the service this evening, it's the only thing that kept coming to me just over and over and over again. And I've come to know how the Spirit of the Lord leads me and how he directs me. It is imperative for, apparently for all of us, I know it's imperative for me, that we understand that the children of Israel did not gain the great promise of God through their own efforts and by their own means. For it was the sword of God. It was the arm of God and the hand of God. And also, notice there, the light of his countenance that caused them to vanquish their enemies. They said, we know that our forefathers did not get the land in possession because they were the biggest, the strongest, the most powerful, or the most skilled. It was not their own sword. It was not their own arm that saved them, but rather it was the hand of God and the right arm of God, the arm of God meaning the power of God. It was God's power and the light of his countenance. Now, the words, the light of his countenance, just mean a great deal to me. What it says to me is they gained victory over a formidable foe by staying in the presence of the Lord. It was their being in the presence of God that caused these tremendous victories to become theirs. And then I want you to note the words, because thou hadst a favor unto them. God intervened on their behalf and caused them to win great victories over their enemies because they were in favor with God. Now, you hang on to that phrase, and we're going to go to the New Testament in just a few moments. And I want to draw your attention back to that. Verse 4 continues, thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Now, what's happening here? Here is prayer going up from God's people. This is Jacob praying. This is the people of Israel praying. We know what you did in ages past. And we know how you delivered your people. You're my king and you're my God. Command deliverances for me. This is what I desire to have done. Through thee, verse 5, will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. Therefore in God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. Selah. Now turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament, to the book of Galatians, chapter number 2. One thing, I believe there's a reason why we must continue to come back to this truth. And that is that as we learn from the Word of God and as we learn the Spirit of the Lord is revealing to us who we are and what we are in Christ Jesus, as we see in the Scriptures that we are the workmanship of God, that we're earthen vessels in whom the power of God is operating, but in us, Jesus said, you'll do the same things I did and even greater things than these will you do. We have a tendency, if we're not careful, to begin to think that we're able to operate almost independently. And we have a tendency, because the old man is so carnal, because he is so proud, and because he is the way he is, we have a tendency to want to use God to accomplish our purposes rather than to allow him to use us to accomplish his. And that's why I just feel impressed that from time to time we need to be renewed and restored in this. So we'll see some familiar scriptures tonight, I think, along those lines. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, these words. I, Paul said, am crucified with Christ. Now, those of you that know anything about the record of the New Testament, you know that Paul was a great man or an insignificant man in the kingdom. A great man in the kingdom of God. A great man. He accomplished great and mighty works for God. But he confesses that he is crucified with Christ. What happens when a man is crucified? He dies. He dies. Now, how could this man dead do anything for God? Dead men don't do anything. Dead men are of no value, no benefit in terms of what happens here on the earth. Paul said, I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm alive. I'm dead, but yet I'm alive. Yet it's not I who am alive, but Christ who liveth in me. It's Christ's life which is alive on the inside of me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Turn with me now, if you will, to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and chapter number 5. John chapter 5 and verse number 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, that is the Father, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. Now go back up to the middle of the 19th verse and notice the words, the Son can do nothing of himself. He did not say, I won't do anything of myself. He said, I cannot do anything of myself. Now, if Jesus was unable to do anything on his own strength, on his own power, on his own volition, in his own, all by himself, then obviously we are unable as well. And we're completely and totally dependent upon the Spirit of his Father and our Father that lives on the inside of us to do whatever it is that we do. In the 15th chapter of John, Jesus said further, speaking to his disciples, and in that event speaking also to us in verse 5, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now, in light of what I have read to you thus far, are you able to see, I shouldn't say it that way, you are able to see, are you not, that the way that we accomplish anything for God is by getting into the presence of the Lord and by staying in the presence of the Lord. For it is it not the light of His countenance being in His presence? Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, then you'll bring forth much fruit. If you don't do that, you can't bring forth any fruit. You may do a lot of work, but you'll bring forth no fruit for the kingdom of God. Now turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 4th chapter of Luke. Remember a verse I showed you back in the portion of the 3rd verse of chapter number 44 of Psalms, in which I encouraged you to remember that it was because of the favor of the Lord that His arm and His hand moved on behalf of the people. Notice here in Luke 4 and 18, Jesus is standing in the synagogue. He has asked for the scroll with the prophet Isaiah written upon it. When he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised," and verse number 19, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." In the margin of my Bible, some time ago, I made this note concerning the 19th verse, that Jesus declared the year of the Lord's favor, or the time, the age, the generation in which the favor of God was falling upon mankind and upon the earth. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He sent me to declare to you that this is the age of God's favor." This is the age of God's favor. Now, if that is in fact the truth, and it is, for Jesus Himself spoke it, if this is the age of God's favor, and we are held in favor by God, then what should we expect to be occurring in our lives? We ought to be expecting the power of God to be operating in our lives. Does that make sense to you? That we ought to be always in the light of His countenance. That we ought to anticipate that He's operating in us, moving through us, His arm, His hand, bringing deliverance or whatever it is that may be needed at the moment. Turn with me now to the book of the Acts, chapter 10. There's a stubborn spirit in this place tonight. I'm going to take care of it here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, spirit that is not with us, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you, I bind you, and I command you to cease and desist in your interference this night. I command you to loose the people of God. In Jesus' name, I bind you. I forbid you any longer to resist the ministry of God's holy word, to resist the flow of God's spirit, and to hinder in any way what God's spirit is trying to do here tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I loose the spirit of revelation, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of alertness. Our Father, I loose your spirit to do what is intended, whatever the plan of God is in this service tonight. And I do it, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Now, Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38. Can you feel that? How God, Acts 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, Jesus obviously ministered in the same way, obtaining the promises in the same way that those people did that were referred to in Psalm 44. Go back to Psalm 44. Hold your finger at Acts 10, but go back to Psalm 44:3. Psalm 44:3. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, Neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand, thine arm, the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. Jesus said, I can do nothing by myself, but what I see the Father doing, that I also do. Now, I think oftentimes in spiritual circles, we attempt to make things happen. We feel as if we are obligated to perform in some way. For that seems to be the, It seems to be the entertaining, demonstrative, and dynamic thing to do. I learned a long time ago, I can't even get out of bed in the morning if the Lord is not with me. I learned a long time ago, I'm not moving until I know that I'm walking in the favor and the light of the countenance of the Lord. If I'm not wielding his sword, I'm not certainly going to wield my own, if you understand what I'm trying to get across tonight. I think oftentimes we find ourselves in very embarrassing situations when we try to do something because we think it would be a good thing to do, rather than taking the time to find out, God, what are you doing? And then do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? The principle that we have to understand tonight is that we do not use God to do what we want done or what we think is appropriate, but on the other hand, he uses us to do what he thinks is appropriate to be done.